That skit describes a lot of us. Amen. We go through so much. We want to make the right decisions. But you always have somebody pulling you. You always have someone trying to take you away from God. They said that sin is pleasurable for a moment. For a moment. But the reality is, it's an eternity of death. That death is a separation from you and God. Outside of God, there is no life. That skit right there shows you that. In one moment, you can be there in unison with God and be one with Him. With that twinkling of an eye, somebody can come in and take you away. Be on guard. Be on guard. He loves you that much. He'll fight for you. He never left her. He never stopped. He kept calling her back and calling her back, but he couldn't come in into the point where she was at that point where she couldn't take it no more. And when she was about to take her life, that's when God stepped in. Right when she's about to. When you train up a child in the way they should go, when they get old, they won't depart from it. They won't. They may get lured to a destination that they don't want to be in, but the ultimate home is with Daddy. In the trials and tribulations that you go through, know this, that Daddy God, is right there with you. And if you only know Him as God, just God, but you don't know Him as Daddy, Abba Father. That's the all-loving Father that loves you through everything that you go through, everything that you are, and everything that you are about to go through. He loves you enough not to leave you there. He doesn't leave you in that mess that you're in. He's right there with you. Even in the midst of you making choices in your life, He's right there with you. Some of us have made decisions in relationships that weren't healthy, but yet He's right there with you because as He loves you, He loves the other as well. And He's there to help you through these things. But if you don't understand who God is, you'll never understand Him as Abba Father. He is your Abba Father. He is your Father that will stick close to you than a brother. That He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never, ever, ever leave you in the pit of hell and not come in and save you. If it's the Bible says that if you make your bed in hell, so will He be there. Do you understand? That's Daddy that we serve. That's Daddy. Don't lose sight of the fact of who He is. Don't lose sight of it. I pray that you got blessed with that skit. It's a beautiful song. We've been wanting to do it for a very long time. It says, when is the time? And it just seemed more fitting to do it on Father's Day. When we came to do the actual rehearsals, I told Melissa, I said, Melissa, I cry every time. And I try to hold back the tears because it's like what He did for me. He kept me. And then when I hugged you right at the end, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, you can go through so much. You want for so much. You pray for so much. It's just like Him to come through and just grab a hold of you. Just to hold you. You ever had a child that is hurting? And your child is crying. He may have scraped his knees or she may have scraped her elbow, but she's just crying for comfort. As a loving parent, you go and grab hold of that child. And half the times, most of us, like everybody does, they just, there you go. It's all better now. We need that from God too. When we're going through and we're crying and we feel like we've gotten beat up, scrapes and bruises, and He comes down, puts you in His arms, brings you unto His bosom. Mijo, it's going to be okay. Mijita, it's going to be fine. Baby girl, just dust yourself off and get up. And I'll walk with you in this. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that Daddy God is Daddy God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I want you guys to come forward. Come up here, Melissa. Come on, Melissa. Come on, girls. Come on, girls. Up here. Didn't they do a wonderful job? A wonderful job. I thank you guys. I really do. I thank you for putting your heart into it and taking your time out. It's a sacrifice to come out and do this skit with us. But it was a blessing. It was a message in itself. I thank God for each and every one of you. I speak blessings into your life. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, that God just richly bless you. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my towel, Oscar, please. And just my phone. Thank you. I just want to share something with you real quick. And I promise to get you out of here real soon. No, we're good. But thank you, sir. I know it's Father's Day, but here's what I want you to think about. I'm going to give just a little, quick little sermon for you. Jesus Christ was born unto a virgin. Her name was Mary. Correct? Did not Mary get visited by an angel and said, Mary, highly favored one, highly favored. You will bear forth the child that you've been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Well, we hear messages about Mary all the time. How many of you have heard a sermon about Daddy Joseph? Not Joseph that is the one that's in Egypt, that goes through the trials and tribulations, but how about Joseph, the father that had to adopt Jesus as his own? Huh? How about, let's look at the story. Let's look at the story, if you would. Get your Bibles. God chose a father for his son. Go to Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18 through 25, and then Matthew 2:13 through 23 is where I will take this message for Father's Day. God chose for his son a father. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers that are here, and to all you single moms that are in the room, happy Father's Day to you. Let me set this up here. You have the angel that visits Mary because she is chosen by God and favored by God to bear forth a son that should be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Visited by an angel of God and tells him. But now at this point in venture of her life, she is engaged to a man named Joseph. Now, I just want you to think in real terms here. Mary is a virgin in Joseph's eyes, at least, correct? Now, we understand scripture, but I'm going to talk real to you. It's real talk here now. In other words, I'm getting engaged to my wife-to-be, and she comes and gives me this message. I'm pregnant. Hello? How? How'd this be? How are you pregnant? You and I haven't. How is it that you're pregnant? Come on, think about it. Think about it. What do you think Joseph is going through at this point? But some things I want to point out about Joseph, why God chose Joseph. Not only to be the husband to Mary, because he was about to put her out. Joseph was about to release her. In other words, call off the engagement because this ain't going to work. You understand? He said he was going to put her out privately. Now, understand the times. If anyone that was engaged during this time was found to be in adultery, the penalty was death. Death by stoning. Do you think Joseph had a right to say, well, we ain't doing this? You're pregnant and you ain't slept with me. Do you understand? So he said in his heart, I'm going to privately put her out so that it'll save her from going through what she's going through. Or what the humiliation that may come her way. That, to me, sounds like a pretty good man right there. That's a keeper. We can't get men today that say, you're pregnant, it ain't me. See ya. Oh, let me break it even further down. How you know it's mine? We're going to get DNA tested, everything, blood test, all that. They test it all. And then go to the courts. because you got to pay child support. The Bible says that if you don't take care of your own and your household, you ain't saved. You're not a true believer. You're just as bad as an unbeliever. Whoa, that's pretty harsh. But he made it a point to take care of her and take care of this baby that wasn't his. That wasn't his. That's a good man right there. Is it not? That's a good man. In other words, I'm going to take care of my adopted son, Jesus. Now, do you know the job that Joseph had was what? A carpenter. Was he just a carpenter, or was that his business? That's his business. We can't get men today to give up their business and leave with the child that's not theirs, or the wife that he may be thinking about. You had some sort of affair with somebody. Do you understand about Joseph? Joseph was a man that took this responsibility that was not his, but he did it because he had a good heart. He knew God. He knew God. And so when God says, get up, because there's a plan, a plot to kill Jesus, the boy, get up and go to Egypt. Well, we read in the story what it says. Lionel, I want you to leave your family, leave your job, leave your kid, and get. Lord, I love you. I got to fast and pray and make sure that's you. Joseph picked up, shut the business down. He said, come on, Mary. We going on a road trip. Where are we going? Egypt, huh? What are we going to do in Egypt? There's no houses of worship in Egypt. Oh, wait a minute, y'all. It's not written in the Bible, is it? Because Egypt was known for the foreign gods. There was not a house of worship in Egypt. So it tells me that God chose a man that knew him. She knew him. That in this time away from church, he had to raise them both spiritually. He had to be sensitive to hear from God spiritually. What happens when God tells us to leave our job that we've been working at? 401k looks real good now. We've been at this thing at least 45 years. I got 401k. You're going to tell me to leave my job? And I can't roll that thing over to an IRA or anything. So you want me to leave my job, leave everything that I worked so hard for, and to go over here to a place that I don't know nobody, there ain't no family, and they don't need no carpenters because everything they got over there is made real good. I'm talking about Joseph, the daddy. What did God see in Joseph? He saw a man that was faithful. Can we get some fathers to be faithful to their children? No, faithful to the children. Fathers need to be faithful to their children. Reminds me of a story that I heard Pastor Hagee say one time that I can always remember this one. Daddy's in the rocking chair. The lazy boy, you know, in front of the TV. Little boy says, Daddy, what are we doing today? Happened to be Sunday morning. Daddy says, you better go get ready for Sunday school, son. So the boy's getting up from the floor watching TV, thinking to himself, Daddy, did you used to go to Sunday school? Sure did, son. Every day. Every Sunday I would go to Sunday school. Aren't you going? No, I'm not going today, son. You need to go get ready to go to Sunday school. The boy gets up, starts walking back to his room to get ready. He says, then I guess I'm going to turn out to be a no good dad just like you. See, what you don't understand is, your kids are watching you. Is the football game that important? Is the basketball game that important? May it be hockey, may it be baseball. May it be just the barbecue or the fishing. But you want to do it alone and not with your kids. What your kids see is what they become. It's what they become. Now, this isn't a message to bash the men, because some women have a tendency to do the same thing as this man did. But one thing about Joseph is that I'm going to take care of my wife. I'm going to take care of this son. I'm going to take care of this baby. I'm going to take care of it. And everywhere that they went, he had to be the sole provider. Women did not work, especially foreign women in that land didn't have the right to work in that land. So what did they do for provisions? Joseph had to do something. See, it's not written in the scriptures. It's not written about how he had to train up Jesus. Remember, Jesus, boy, how many of y'all have kids? How many of y'all have kids? You know those diapers? No. Now, I'm going to talk to the older folks. You know those diapers? Mm-hmm. The ones you got to wash. Mm-hmm. You know about the Fuller soap at that point. You know, we call that bleach. That Fuller soap. And now, you know, they have those little stick pins. You know, I remember one time my daddy was changing me. My mama told me he was changing me. He pricked me with that pin. I started screaming. He starts crying. My mom said, "What happened? I pinned him with the pin, and he's crying. I'm crying." And they're all three crying there. See, those things are a little different. Y'all don't know about that. Edwina, they don't know about that kind of stuff. Oh, now they got that thing where you put the diaper inside that pail. You twist it a little bit, and that little plastic bag covers it up, keeps the stench from coming out. No, baby. No. When they would go, they would go. You would think it'd be a foul spirit in the room, but it was because they went and did their business. Do you understand? So, in other words, he had to do some things, help mama out. You hear what I'm saying? See, not just mama doing everything, but daddy's got to help out as well. For you single people in the room that are not married and you're looking to get married, look for someone that's going to help you. Look for someone who's going to love you. If you got children of your own, before they come into the marriage, they got to love your children like they're their own. Right. Yeah. And if they don't love your children, they ain't never going to love you. And if they mistreat you, they're going to mistreat your children. Pay attention. Pay real close attention. Because a lot of times we think that marriage is just all hunky-dory. We all good. We're going to get married. We're going to go register at Macy's. We're going to register at Target. We're going to register wherever we can register, but we're going to register. Then half the stuff that you get is half the stuff you really didn't want. It ain't all that. What it's all that about is the alone time when nobody's watching. Joseph could have been something else. But Joseph was faithful to God and obeyed. He obeyed. He was faithful. He was loving. He was caring. And he was not selfish. You ever got someone in your life that been selfish? Everything's about me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. And they ain't getting ready to sing. It's just about them. That's the clear sign for you. Get to running. Run. Because if it's all about them, it'll never be about you or your kids. Even if it's their own kids. Get to moving. Quick. Because it won't change. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm safe filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to change them. No, you ain't. That's not your job to change them. That's not. Your job is to love them. This could be a Father's Day message. Could be a Mother's Day message. But you love each other unconditionally. And when the children are involved, you love your children unconditionally. You hear me? Unconditionally. Not on the condition that if you clean your room and wash the dishes, then I love you. Bring me good grades and then I love you. Or buy me love. Mm-mm. Joseph loved them enough to take them where God told them to go when he told them to get. After they were in Egypt, Joseph was told to get them out and to go to Bethlehem. Brings them out. Takes them out. Why? Because God is telling them where to go for what to do in the next season of their life. Joseph's a good daddy. Isn't it kind of strange, though, we read about Mary the rest of the Gospels, but we don't hear about Joseph. We don't hear about Joseph anymore. So we're just going to have a baby. We're just going to raise up a family, but that's all we're going to hear about daddy. Because I read when Jesus is being crucified, he tells his brother to take care of your mama. Take care of your mama. You don't hear about Joseph at the cross. You don't hear about Joseph as he's getting whooped or beaten. Do you? It's nowhere in Scripture. Can I ask you fathers in here, if someone was to go and start whooping on your children, what would you do? Can we talk? Did we need a break for the coffee? What you going to do if someone comes up to your children? What you going to do? Let me ask some of the mamas in here. What y'all going to do? You're going to beat them down. You're going to get real. You're going to get the knife. You're going to get the gun. You're going to get whatever you need to get because you're going to take your hands off my children. You don't put your hands on my. You don't even look at my children that way. Say something again. I'll be like David. I ain't need no stone. It's something about women. Women just know how to get down and dirty. Eyelashes come off. High heels get to flipping it. If you got that wig, it goes to flying. But I tell you what, they lose all kind of dignity and they're ready to go. Boy, I tell you what, if we can get some men to say, you know what, you ain't touching my children. You ain't touching my wife. You're not coming into my household. You're not even going to even talk to them in the way that is disrespectful to my soulmate. Well, I'm talking about Jesus now. See what I'm saying? Is that when the enemy comes in, he ain't going to let that happen, but he's giving you free will. What you going to do when the enemy comes in? What are you going to do when an outside influence comes to start tickling your ear? Are you going to run to it, or are you going to let daddy come in and fight your battle? Huh? Because he's going to come in and tell you, pick up your sword, pick up your word, and deal with this mother right here. Huh? Why? Because this thing is trying to take you away from the grace of God, the purpose that's in your life, and your destiny. You have got to understand that God is that Father, that you ain't touching my children. You're not touching my family. Matter of fact, I've given y'all power and authority that when you bind the strong man, you get the goods. You get the goods. And you don't just get the goods. You get the goods. No, you know, the goods. See, because I found my wife, I found a good thing. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah. Hey, I'm talking to you. Say, but Pastor, but I ain't married yet. Well, let me help you get married. You got to know that you're good. The Bible says love God with all your heart and love your neighbor also. Here's the problem with that. If you don't know how to love yourself and God, you ain't going to love your neighbor. Mm-mm. You got to learn how to love yourself. Love yourself. Can you love yourself? Can you love yourself? Huh? Can you love God with all your might, heart, and strength? Yes. Can you love your neighbor likewise? Yes. That one's a little weak, but we'll work on that one. It's a little weak. You have got to understand that daddy's not going to let anybody come in and mess with your kids. Are you not his child? Are you not his child? Yes. Then he ain't going to let people mess with you. He's not going to let the devil come and lie to you and put some sort of false accusation like cancer on you. False accusation of diabetes, tumors, depression, oppression. That is the enemy. That is the culprit to the body of Christ. He's given you power and authority to overcome that. But you have to understand that you hold that key. This isn't just another message about daddy. This isn't just another message about what Joseph did. This is what Jesus did. He came down from heaven, seated in the heavenly places down here on earth, so that he can look after you and that he could walk amongst the trials and tribulations to show you that you have an advocate on your side. That he will help you in through your trials and your tribulations, and he won't leave you there. Amen. Amen. He ain't going to leave you. Amen. No, he ain't going to leave you. Amen. No, he ain't going to leave you. Amen. Well, thank you. I heard that. Yep. There's abandonment issues in the church. In the church. People have been abandoned by their loved ones, and then they want to equate that God has abandoned them. God ain't left you. He didn't leave you. You are his seed. He says, I'll never see my seed begging bread. Amen. If you're going through a tough time right now, father, mother, child, you're not alone in this season. You're not. For the salvation of the Lord is drawing nigh unto you. Drawing nigh unto you. Do you understand? God is sitting on the throne. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for you. Praying for you. Making sure that you understand he's always going to fight for you. Say, well, he finished it on the cross. He finished it on the cross. He finished everything. But then he also says that some of those battles you fight are not yours. They're mine. Some of the battles you don't even know that are going on around you, he's fighting them for you. He's fighting them for you. Don't lose sight of that and don't lose hope. When you bind the strong man, you get the goods. You'll get the goods. Some of those goods are the goods you've been waiting on for a very long time. Your family members that have been kind of lost are coming home. Some of y'all are afraid of a report that has been given to you. I'm here to tell you that God is going to do away with that. He's going to erase it. And he's going to clear some things up. He's going to clear some accounts. He's going to eradicate debt. And he's going to remove sickness and disease. Sickness and disease. Some of you need to understand that he's doing it right now. Right now. The Bible says that you ask for rain in the time of rain. Ask for rain in the time of rain. Rain. Hasn't it been raining almost every night? Isn't it something that when the rain comes, it usually comes right before it becomes dark? Some of y'all that prophetic understood that. So let me help you. The rain comes right before your darkness. Before the sun goes down, the rain comes. Some of you have been going through a season that has been dry. Some of you have been going through a season that you've been put between the cleft of the rock in a hard place. A hard place. Sometimes you feel like you've been covered up, but you can't see where you're going because it's starting to get dark. It's starting to get to the point where you can't see your way out. But see, there was a time when, are you tired? Are you tired? Are you tired? Because when Jacob got tired, he laid down and it was at night. And he got into a place of rest in God. Then he knew something. If I can just put my trust, because I'm all by myself out here. But if I can trust him, there's a door that will open up. He's going to make a way for you in your dry season. But I'm here to prophesy to you. It's about to rain. It's about to rain. It's going to rain. But the water is going to flow to you. Not away from you. When it flows to you, it cleanses everything that's been around you. It cleanses the things that you've been going through. Sometimes you feel like you're trudging in the mud, but that water comes to clean you up. But he's asking you, will you make a choice? Will you make a choice? Or will you continue down the same path again? It's time for us to hear the word of the Lord and understand this, that God wants change in your life. And if you want change in your life, you have to make a decision that comes by the heart. Lord, you are God. You are God. But I need you to be my God. I need you to be my Lord. I need you in my life. I need you to turn some things around. How many of you want him to turn some things around? Yeah, we need some things to turn around. We need some diagnosis to be turned around. We need some bank accounts that have been closed to be reopened. We need to have some land that has been foreclosed on be released. We need to see some things that are repossessed be come back into our possessions. We have got to see some things that have been held up become released. We have got to understand that to everything there is a season, and our season is dictated to us by our revelation and truth in Him, in God. I said this about a month ago. There's a sound, and this sound is above the trees, the mulberry trees. This sound is a sound of a mighty rushing wind that is coming into the body of Christ. Some of the waters only receded because of the wind first. You couldn't cross because of the waters until the wind of God from the north, the south, the east, and the west blew on the water. And it separated so that you could cross over. Two times in Scripture we read about that. The Red Sea parted and the Jordan parted. Each time there was a transition for the body of Christ. The third time that you read about a splitting is when they stretched the arms of our Savior. The water gushed out when they pierced his side. There was a transition then. That transition is for the body of Christ to receive their promise, their inheritance to the kingdom of God. The water is rushing. And I hear the Spirit of God saying that I am releasing the instrument that will break forth what has been held up. Some of these instruments are blunt objects. Oh my God. They're blunt. Others are very sharp and pointed because they know how to get to where it needs to get to. The blunt object causes more damage because it's not sharp. But the sharp, pointed one gets to the point. The blunt is of the enemy that will cause damage. But the sharp will be the arrow of God's word going forth into a place that will release what is being held up. I see arrows flying across the churches today. Arrows that are released prophetically into the atmosphere that speaks of what God is doing. He is releasing spiritual warfare into the body of Christ to get the people to cross. Fathers, I bless you. I bless you, fathers. Mothers, I bless you as well. And children, I bless you. I need to stay in this vein. Before the Jordan in the Bible, it was at flood stage before we could cross. We've had recent floods here in San Antonio. The ground is so saturated because of all the rain that one more downpour is going to raise the rivers, raise the creeks. And where the bed of rivers and creeks once were throughout the drought shall be filled again. I prophesy to you that in the area of your drought, rivers always represented the blessing of God. and a resource to the kingdom. God is releasing its rain, and it will fill that which was once void. It will change the layout of the land. This is Sunday, and this is a little difficult. Don't stop playing. We are going to see a geographical change in Damascus. The Syrian borders are going to change. The people, the people will run and flock to the houses of worship and will renounce and denounce Allah and run to the open arms of the fathers in that land. I see a section, oh my God. I see a section of the Dome of the Rock being altered, and in it being altered by natural causes, there will be another revelation of truth and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I see it by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. There will be a mortar that will go off around that area in its holy ground, but it is going to reveal even more truth concerning the scriptures of the Holy Bible and reveal truth that Jesus is Lord, our Messiah. I said this a couple nights ago, Wednesday night, that I said that the earth was going to reveal even more of the truth and the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that the word of God to be true, and you're going to see it take place. It's going to take place where it once began. Hear me now. Where it once began, you'll see it reveal once again. Let me tell you, what you see taking place in Israel is going to take place in your life. You will see that they're no longer on the defensive, but they're on the offensive. They're no longer afraid. They're more vigilant on getting truth raised to Jesus Christ. And not only that, they're defending their borders and their territories. And I hear the Spirit of God says, enlarge your tent, for I will strengthen the cords. And I will enlarge your territories, and I will change the borders for my people. But you must first enlarge. Grab hold. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hold that, son. Grab hold. And pull. Stretch. Because I'm enlarging your tent, your covering, your abode. And when I enlarge it, I will be your covering. I will be your blessing. And I will raise unto you a king in this hour, that you will know Jesus is Lord. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he shall go forth and he shall raise up a banner, for he is riding on a white horse. Oh, Jesus, thank you. We are about to see a changing of the guard in government over there in Israel, in government over in Syria. You're going to see a change, and hear true prophetic voices declaring, enlarge your tents. Be prepared, people, for you're about to see tents all over this city for outreaches and outpours of the Holy Spirit. And there will be revival in the land. For I have prepared the land to be fruitful and for it to multiply. In the season that you put in the ground one mite, you will see over and over 100-fold back, because the ground is fruitful. For I have sent the rain in its season, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know we got things to do. Underground churches in the Middle East are going to be coming up over. And then we'll be establishing the houses of worship once again, where the festivals will be recognized once again. When you enact the festivals of the Old Testament, you will receive such a blessing in your life that it will bring about the healing back into the land. That land is your promise. Your promise. You're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it. By the turn of this calendar year, starting October, November, and December, you will see such a shift in Israel, the land, and government that it shall be established in 2014 that you will see things begin to change within our own government. This, I know it's Sunday, and I know sometimes I got to work harder on Sundays on this. I want you to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking right now. The spirit of prophecy can fall on any one of you. But the office of is different. It's different. Many of those that are called in the office of will be taken into a different realm. A different realm. Be careful to the amens, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Pray. Hear me now. Hear me now. Pray for the prophets in the land. Pray. Kingdoms need a prophet to declare, thus saith the Lord, for the direction of the kingdom. God is not going to raise up a, he's going to raise up more. The ones that have been hidden in a cave, in the darkness. The ones that have been hidden that only had just enough to get by. Yeah, y'all don't hear me. You don't hear me. That only had just enough to get by. That didn't quite have all of the instructions to make it through. But they had to depend on others to bring it to them. Had to depend on others to get to them what was necessary to sustain the life of the office. Is about ready to be called out of and be placed in their position. When he hid the prophets, he hid them in 50s. When he told the disciples, right before he blessed the fishes and the loaves of bread, sit them down in 50s. Your jubilee, your refreshing, and your resources will be in abundance because of jubilee. Because of jubilee. I pray you hear the word of the Lord today. I pray you do. He's calling them out to display them before the king. What is held up through the government will be released so that he can call the office to where they must be. Nothing can stop the hand of God. Nothing can stop the hand of God. You shall see your prophetic word spoken over your life, my life, come to pass. We will sit in the courts with rulers. We will sit in the courts of kings and amongst the queens. As the work goes forth, it'll change the territory and the region, because I'm sending the office. The office. I've hid you. I've hid you. And every time you wanted to come out of that cave, I told you to get back in. Not yet time. You wonder how you were going to get the next one. How was it going to come through? How was he going to come through this time? But he sent someone for you. It would bring provisions because of his call and purpose. When he calls us out,
He'll take us and lead us to the courts. To the courts. Nothing that the government can do can stop the word of the Lord. Nothing. Nothing.
God and I had to have a conversation concerning what's going on. And I'm here to encourage you. Encourage you. Fathers, mothers, children, grandchildren, your dark days are coming to an end. And the light shall shine forth. It'll shine forth. Do not fret. Do not worry. God is in control. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would please. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every one of these individuals that are represented here today, for their family members, their extended family, their friends, their neighbors, their co-workers. Lord, I thank you for them. I release a blessing of love and favor and grace into their life. I thank you for the breaker's anointing that destroys every yoke that is not of you, God. And Lord, I just release it into the atmosphere and into their spirit and into their soul, that they receive the blessing from Almighty God, that they receive the word of the Lord today to know, enlarge your tent, enlarge your territories, because I'm getting ready to open up for you what has been shut. Father, I thank you in advance. I release a blessing over their lives, over their finances, and over their health, and over their children, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. If you have your envelopes with you, lift them up before the Lord as a wave offering.